is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
It's time for Past Life Explorers with Nikki Hughes. Always fascinated with reincarnation, Nikki's main passion is past life regression therapy. The answers may be hidden deep within you, so let's dive in and explore. Let's welcome Nikki Hughes back to News for the Soul.
Welcome, explorers, and happy spring, everyone. It's so great to be here, and it's so nice, too, because we've made it into the sunshine, haven't we? And what a thrill it is to be getting outside again. So today we have a super show ahead and a very special guest. This morning we have Siobhan with us. And Siobhan put her name forward to come on the show and was our March winner. So she had a full past life regression session with me, and we're going to share that really exciting session with you today. So welcome, Siobhan. I'm so happy to have you join us.
Hi, Nikki. It's great to be here.
Yeah, awesome. So just a little bit about Siobhan for our listeners. So Siobhan is also a hypnotherapist. She's a past life regressionist. And as an energy worker, she's a Reiki master and teacher. And she's a psychic medium. So what a fantastic client to have. And I was really excited to work with you, Siobhan, because of all of these skills that you have. And your unconscious mind was so primed and ready to go. So we did work together. Yeah, it really was, wasn't it? So we had some work together off the air earlier in the month in an intense past life that we are going to take our listeners through. Today we're going to go through that experience. We're going to listen to some clips and find out what's happened in Siobhan's life since her last session. Now, when we first got together, Siobhan, you said it had been a very long time since you've done anything like this, a past life regression especially. I know that as a psychic medium, you are out and connected all the time. And an energy person too, you are also always connected. So you hadn't done past life work for quite some time for yourself anyway, is that's correct?
Yes, I haven't done it actually until since I was learning it.
Okay, great. Well, it's always good to go back and revisit the learning, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yes. What was great is as a psychic, a medium, you have a very strong visual and kinesthetic sense. So we're going to hear some of that through the session today. Now, when we chatted about your goals before the session, you said you were just kind of curious as to what would come up because, you know, spirit always gives you what you need in the moment. You did say, though, that you have a lot of stress going on in your life right now. There's a lot of big changes happening for you. You know, you've got an upcoming move and just, you know, knowing what direction to go in would be really helpful. And just a little bit about that stress. So did that sort of sum it up for you?
Is a really good summary of what's going on for me.
Okay, good. All right. So you went into hypnosis really easily, surprisingly easily. It was really great for me. It was just a couple of minutes. So that was really awesome. And the interesting thing about working with you was that your unconscious mind was so eager to get into it. So we went to your safe space, but actually you didn't have to have a safe space. You went right into the past life, which was kind of fun. So we're going to play some clips today, but before we play the first clip, I just want to put out a little warning for people that this particular past life experience was intense and traumatic, and there were some abuses you're going to hear about, not in a lot of detail, but it can be unsettling for some people. So most of the traumatic lifetimes, though, they are filled with the greatest growth and learning. So I would say that you got some good growth and learning from this one. So in this next clip, this is where Siobhan steps into the past life. So I'm just going to ask the producers to cue up and play clip one, please.
It's in a castle.
It's a castle basement?
Yeah, I would say the dungeon.
What do you notice around you in this castle space, this
a lot of sick people.
There's a lot of sick, starving people.
Tortured people. I can hear screaming, crying.
Before we explore this place, your unconscious mind has left a gift for you that will just show up in your hand, something you can hold in your hand, some sort of symbol.
It
really is. It's which?
A light.
It's a light.
Only I can't move.
You're sick?
No. I'm chained, but I'm chained on my throat, too.
How did you get here?
I stole an apple. Yeah, I'm very young.
How old are you?
8.
You're 8 years old. And you're chained in the dungeon. And do you feel as though you're in a male body or a female body?
Female. But I don't have anything. I'm very poor. I'm wearing like a torn fabric or something. I'm very dirty.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone in the dungeon with you that you know?
No, but there's a wise man.
And where is he in proximity to you?
He's across from me and very skinny and old and hairy.
And just looking at that wise man, look into his eyes. Is he someone that you recognize from your current life? You feel a connection.
Blue eyes, I don't know.
What happens next for you, this 8-year-old?
I'm being dragged with other children. We're worthless. We're worth nothing, we're told. We're worth nothing.
So you're being dragged, and at any point you can lift out of the body and just observe so you're not re-experiencing this trauma.
Yeah, because it's hard for me to speak.
Yes, so you can lift out of the body. And so you feel that in your throat?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
observe. So you, as this young girl, are being taken away with all of the other children that are in the dungeon?
Just some of them.
Some of them. How did they choose which ones would go?
They all look like my age. We all look about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Skinny, tattered, messy, dirty, naughty hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine is really it's just not.
And how long have you been in that dungeon?
I don't know. It's been a while. I've seen sunsets and sunrises a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In the little with the bars in it. They put the little teeny light in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm being taken, like we're all being taken.
And where do you go? Where do you go?
This is being sold.
You're being sold.
There's somebody taking us all, but the one dragging us works there.
Mm-hmm.
It's his job. And all of us have metal around our throat, and we're being dragged. So we have to walk, but we're all starving and skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty. And we're bumping into each other. And then there's a big fat guy, and he's taking us.
And is he the person that you've been sold to?
He's buying us.
He's buying you. Okay.
He doesn't want me. He doesn't pick me.
Oh.
But the kids that are going are screaming and they're frightened.
Do you know where they're going?
All I know is it's not good.
Mm. So how are you feeling about not being picked?
I actually feel good because he's taking little boys. It's like he's going to eat them or something.
Okay, so I'll just do a quick recap before we get into that. So you immediately went into this dungeon in a castle. An 8-year-old girl, as hard as it was to imagine an 8-year-old girl chained at the throat for stealing an apple, really very dirty and hungry, and you didn't know anybody else in the prison. We had you rise up out of the body so you weren't re-experiencing the trauma, but also because you found it really hard to talk with that shackle around your throat. And it was difficult to know how much time was passing. And this is something that happens when you are in a past life character. You are taking on and experiencing their experience. So she did not know how to tell time, so you didn't either. So you just talked in terms of sunrises and sunsets. And the guard comes to take you and some other children away. You're being told you're worthless and that you feel really worthless, and you know you're going to be sold to the place where you're sold is really difficult because you're starving, you're skinny, and talking about the filth as well and the condition of the hair. The other children are chained at the neck and you're all bumping into each other. And there's a big fat man who is buying the children. And he doesn't pick you, but the ones that he picked were terrified, and those are the young boys. And you actually felt really good that you didn't get picked because the fate of these boys wasn't good. And you even commented that you think that he may even eat them. And so now I just want to put a note out here that this is coming through the eyes of the 8-year-old. And so I assume that that's just a terrifying thought that the 8-year-old had. It could also be metaphoric coming from the unconscious mind. However, we have lived through a lot of lifetimes that were very barbaric, so we chose not to explore that. So this was a very difficult and traumatic lifetime. We knew that as we stepped in. And Siobhan, I noticed that you were having physical reactions to what was happening. You were twisting in your chair, your face was moving, having facial reactions to what was happening. So what was it like for you being in this different, much younger body?
Very confusing. Very confusing.
Okay.
And helpless. Like listening to that reminds me of how helpless I felt and insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no control there, hey?
I don't like being dirty to this day, so it's interesting.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, about dirt. So we'll come back to that. But did it feel like you when you were in that body? Did it feel like a part of you?
Yes, it did, actually.
That's an interesting. I get that
feel
from
like it was
client. Yeah. Okay. So we went ahead then to find out what happened with this young girl, and you're going to hear this on our next clip. So I'm going to ask the producers to cue up clip 2 now, please.
Well, now I'm by myself, and the man that was originally dragging me,
mm-hmm.
how worthless I am. But I wasn't even wanted by that guy. So he's going to put me to work.
So he keeps you out of the dungeon, is that? He doesn't take you back there?
No, it takes me, I see people digging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just told to dig. I'm looking for black. It has to be really black.
What's really black?
What I'm digging for.
Okay.
Because I'm small, I can get into little crevices. I can barely breathe in these little crevices. And they're just yelling at me, dig. And
are there other children there?
There's other, I don't see children near me. I see withered adults that have been there. They're blackened by the digging and they're begging for water.
Do you still have the thing around your throat?
No. No, I don't. Now I've got one on my ankle. It's attached to a bigger piece. So if I fall, attached to a rock, if I fall, they pull me out with my ankle, the chain. I can't tell what I'm, but I'm like, I have no nails left from digging.
So you're digging with your hands?
Yeah, I think it's diamonds. I found something sparkly, and they're very pleased with me. But then they just told me, for a moment, I had relief, I think. But I have to keep going and doing it now.
And so what happens next in this lifetime? This little 8-year-old who is enslaved into digging.
Oh, I'm starting to develop, and I'm too big for that job. So they've got me cooking, serving.
So you're around the food.
Yeah, hitting me.
Who's hitting you?
The people in charge. I'm feeding the people digging. And I'm starving, so I just like stick my finger in the gruel or oatmeal or whatever it is. So I can have some too, but I don't get any.
How do you survive?
By stealing little bits of food as I'm serving it.
So they're not concerned with your survival in giving you food as the cook?
No, not at all. But I'm starting to get boobs and stuff, and now they're treating me differently.
And how is that? How are they treating you differently?
They're groping me.
Okay. So what happened to your parents? What happened to your family?
They died. They died in the rock. The rock came tumbling down. And I just see them dying because the boulders fell from the stem and just killed them all. My whole village was like killed. And I just happened to survive.
Okay. So after this intense relief at not being sold, you were moved out of the dungeon into a work group of diggers, and they wanted you because you were small and you could get into the crevices. So in this clip, we found out what happened to your family, and they were all killed in what sounded like a landslide. The family, the whole village, you just happened to survive it. And what wasn't on the clip is that you lived for about a year or so surviving and fending for yourself before you were caught stealing that apple and were imprisoned. And lots of the children survived the landslide. They were all together outside playing when the village was struck. Many of the children ended up as slaves, and the younger ones died unable to care for themselves. It was very tragic. And so in this digging role, you dug with your hands, and you had no fingernails. That must have been super painful. And the throat shackle was gone, so we checked that out. You were attached to the chain at the ankle, and it was attached to a rock so that if you fell, they could pull you back up. So definitely some slave labor there. And at one point, you dug up a diamond, and they were really pleased with you, but immediately you were put back to work. You felt some relief at them being pleased. So, Siobhan, what was it like to experience that for you, especially to have a little glimpse into the relief and the approval when you found that diamond?
I remember feeling like it was very short-lived, that I thought I had this moment of hope, and then it was just taken away from me.
Okay, so it was very, you did get that hopeful feeling and dashed right away, hey?
Yeah.
And then you were aging as well. Then carrying on as you were aging, your body started to develop, so you must have been there for a few years or whatever, and you were too big to get into the crevices, so you just weren't useful in that area anymore. So they moved you to cooking and serving, and they kept hitting you. So you were constantly being abused in this lifetime. The people in charge just were hitting you and not looking after you. There wasn't a lot of food in this lifetime. You had to steal bits just to stay alive. Again, there was no value of you as a human or your life. You were just there to be used. And then as your body changed and as you developed breasts, so did the attention that was given to you, and you were beginning to get groped. So once your body changed, everything changed, including your usefulness. So how was that change for you in that body? What did you feel about your body? Were you connected to your body? Were you disconnected from your body? All of a sudden, your body's creating this changed circumstance for you.
Yeah, it was like suddenly my body was noticeable, whereas before I was, invisible. And then as my body developed, I became more visible, but I knew that the attention wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so did you feel connected to your body or disconnected from your body? Do you remember having a sense of that or not?
I think at that point I was still connected to my body.
Okay.
It was after that I think I became disconnected.
Right. Okay. So we're going to move ahead now to the death scene, which was not that far ahead from these moments in the regression where you were doing the cooking work. So I'm just going to ask the producers to cue up clip 3, please.
Okay. So you are a little bit older now and you've developed, your body's developing, and now you're finding that
they're just using me.
They're groping you and
raping me.
Groping and raping you.
Over and over. I'm just laying there. They all take their turn.
And how are you surviving at this point?
Sometimes they bring me food. The ones who aren't so rough with me, piece of fruit.
And so what happens to this young adolescent?
I die there.
Okay, so let's go to the last day of your life in this body. And
big hairy man. Big hairy man keeps hitting me. And he won't get off me. And he grabs me by the throat and breaks my neck.
Just take a breath now. Just allow yourself as you lift off and leave that body. What were you thinking and feeling in that moment when you were leaving the body just before you left?
When I left the body, I felt relief.
What about just before you left?
Fear. I didn't want to be me. I didn't want to be there anymore. Cruel and mean.
A very difficult life.
Yeah.
What sensations did you have in your body as you were leaving the body?
Couldn't breathe.
Couldn't breathe?
And I was being crushed by him.
So a crushing feeling?
He raped me and he was kept hitting me and pushing on me. Like I fought back, he hit me harder. And then he just snapped my neck. Like it happened so fast.
Well, such a difficult life where you were brutalized by so many others. You did see some kindness with some people who were bringing you food that was keeping you alive. Your ending of that life was through a rape and a beating and being crushed by this big hairy man and without any warning, just the snap of your neck. So, Siobhan, what was it like to realize that that was your last day and experience the way you died? It seemed, as I was watching you, you were so surprised that that happened and because it happened so fast. What was that like?
Well, it was like I was being terrorized and he was grabbing at me. And I guess the abuse was so much that when he grabbed my neck and snapped it, I was really surprised because I was experiencing so much pain and agony and brutality that it surprised me that I wasn't going to just continue in that sort of bad moment in life, just being raped repeatedly by numerous people. But he was big, and I remember him just putting his hands around my throat, and within seconds, I was gone.
So a bit of a happy surprise in a way because it was over, right?
Yes, there was a relief for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, and when you left that body, I asked you about the sensations, and you said that you couldn't breathe. I was not able to breathe, not just at the end, but even you said the dust and the dirt, just the dust and the dirt, not just being crushed by this fellow. and you felt like you didn't have any muscle in your body. You were just so bony and skinny. You were starving and being so dirty, the sensation of being dirty and all of the feelings, the aloneness, the worthlessness, and all of these came with you. You couldn't breathe, and there was no way that you could fight back. So you took a lot with you from that lifetime of unresolved energy, unresolved trauma. And so this next clip is all about the purpose of the lifetime and the learning. So I'm just going to ask to cue up clip 4, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
You've come through that really difficult life. And so just reflecting back now, what was the purpose of that life? What did you go into that lifetime wanting to achieve?
Happiness.
A very difficult life to achieve some happiness in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so many difficult things. So you wanted to experience happiness in that life. Did you achieve that?
Like with my family when I was
really So with your family, you did achieve happiness.
And then as soon as they were taken from me, everything was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I had no value, no worth.
And so what did you learn in that life?
How to survive.
How to survive.
Do as I was told.
To do as you were told. What else? What else did you learn from being in that life?
I don't like dirt. All the time with my hair all matted, and I like to have clean, nice clothes. Mine were so dirty and worn.
So you learned you like cleanliness.
I would have liked that. I didn't like being dirty. I don't see anywhere where I wash. No, there's no washing. And I'm always chained to something. And everything's so hard. I'm always on the ground. When I'm small, I would crawl around on the ground to get to things to help. But as I got older and they started raping me, I was just on the ground, back all the time. Nowhere to go. Nothing to do.
What did you learn about your value?
I had no value.
Right.
Absolutely no value whatsoever. It was just used. Tell me I was pathetic and useful. I was clumsy too, but my body was so bony, so lanky. You could see all my bones and my ribs. Somehow I still have, like, boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Boobs are significant because as soon as that happened, I had a different job. And that was to just lay there for them. I didn't even care. It didn't last very long. And that big guy came and he just pulled me apart. It was like I was a rag doll. And breaking my neck, it just happened so fast because it was so much pain and everything else he was doing. He lifted me up on my throat and broke it. Like it was nothing.
So your purpose in that life was to experience some happiness, which you were able to do in the beginning part of that lifetime, but unable to connect to any form of happiness in the second half, where all the difficulty was.
Right.
Right. But you learned how to survive. What else did you learn? What did you learn about yourself?
It took a long time for me to die. I wanted to die for a long time. I learned not to talk. I learned just to do, just to be in my head.
Mm-hmm.
To follow orders. There's a lot about pain.
Mm-hmm.
Physical pain,
a lot of physical pain in that life.
Yeah. I even remember my knees being all scraped up when I was crawling around in the rocks.
Now, that would be a very hard lifetime to try to maintain some level of happiness, so... a very difficult purpose to achieve with all of those things happening in that life. Although you did feel it earlier in the lifetime with the family, but it was definitely absent in the difficult part, the second half. You said that you learned how to survive, how to do as you're told,
And you were so surprised at the dirt and the dirty feeling, and that absolutely nowhere in that life did you get a chance to wash. And so you would have liked to have been clean. So the theme of dirtiness has come up a lot, Siobhan. Is this something that gets focused on in your current life? I know in the regression you said you really like to be clean and have nice clothes. So does this come up for you at all?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm very clean and I like things sanitized.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it after that lifetime. My goodness.
Yeah, if I get dirt underneath my nails or anything, I just, I hate it. Or sticky hands or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, well, not surprising. So
no.
In that lifetime, you were clumsy, your body was bony and lanky, and yet you still had breasts, and this was significant because this is what changed your job into the one that took you to the ending. And what you learned was that it took a long time to die, even though you really wanted to die. You learned to be up in your head, to just follow orders, and you learned about pain and physical pain. And so not on the clip, we went through how this relates to your current life. And some of the things that you said are around trying to please others, doing so much for other people and not for yourself. And no matter what you did in that lifetime, it wasn't enough. You had that little tiny glimmer of hope, and then it was dashed. Having that feeling of not enough, and that is in you, and it's connected to a family relationship, and that's been a bit of a struggle in this life. And worthiness, feeling your own sense of value and worthiness is a challenge in this lifetime, really being valued. So does that still sound right for you?
Yeah.
The learning?
Yeah, okay. The learning, yeah. And I've worked with self-worth all my life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship I had that made me question my worth all the time and mm-hmm. put me down all the time, it was almost like a reoccurrence in some ways.
Yeah.
Not as drastic, yeah, obviously, but.
Yeah, we do bring it with us because that balance energy has to be balanced in some way because it wasn't cleared mm-hmm. out in the last lifetime. So I did ask about issues with body development in this life because the development of your female form was a trigger for being assaulted and very quickly murdered. And you said that you feel like your body's not your own and that when you were a teenager, your body wasn't developed. You had a boy body. You were a very late developer and that your physical development didn't happen until you were 19. So isn't that interesting that the early development in that lifetime led to some traumatic and horrific things? And in this lifetime, you chose a body that would develop much later to get you through that adolescent period. Difficulty with male relationships, having men force themselves on you. And when that happens, you shut down and get quiet and then get mad at yourself. So there's just so much learning and interconnection between that particular traumatic life and how you're experiencing life this time around. So is there anything else that you would like to add about the learning from that lifetime?
It's interesting how much that I brought with me in the sense of my own value and how uncomfortable I am with men mm-hmm. and how lack in confidence I have in relationships. It's actually brought a lot into this life.
Yeah. And a lot that you can let go of, right? So that's awesome. So I want to talk about the blocks that we worked on next, because all of those things come through as blocks to you living sort of an open and full life here. So first we tapped into that worthlessness block. This was the big block in the sternum area. It was heavy. And it felt like that crushing feeling, like that man on you, and it was preventing you from breathing. It had edges like raw coal, almost like hematite, and it was pulling you down. This block related to safety, and it was keeping you safe, putting this big energy between you and others. Now, when you released it, you could immediately breathe better. There was less pressure, and you felt you could stand taller. You weren't hunched and pulled inward anymore. You're kind of concave, you know, pulling in. And you were able to just stand with your chest expanded. It also changed an interesting thing, some indigestion that you had problems with. So I guess being all pulled in was pushing on your digestion. and creating indigestion, and so you felt lighter. Sternum could be open now and not curved in trying to hide, and you even said that the ribs wanted to come out and be expanded. Then this was a really big block. It took a long time, so I didn't put that on the clip, and a lot of processing to remove all of the layers so that the rest of the body could realign as it changed into an energy that was supportive and able to filter for safety. And the center of this energy, when we got down into it, changed into a palm stone heart. It was very beautiful. So that was one block, and that block continued to process through the rest of the whole session. It was very, very big. The next block was located in the throat, not surprisingly, given the chains and the shackles around the throat and the need to keep quiet in that life, learning to just be quiet. And what we found that it was related as well to safety, to trust, and to, you know, having your own voice heard. It was keeping you quiet and keeping you safe, and you learned not to trust your own voice. And it was a deep fear of, I don't want to be me. And that was something that you took forward with you, that feeling of, I don't want to be me. It was in the throat. So just by connecting to it, it was fascinating, because just by connecting to it, it was already starting to release on its own, changing into beautiful rays of yellow light that was healing the rawness underneath where that metal collar had been. So there was a real sense of rawness under there. So it changed into something warm and soothing, and the fear was completely released. The voice block was something you said you've been working on for a long time. So, Siobhan, what was it like changing those two blocks for you? We're going to do a clip on the other blocks. So what was it like for those two, the sternum and the throat, and how did it feel physically when that was happening?
Well, I remember feeling very tight-chested, and I always got my throat's always kind of like, I don't know, like itchy, not itchy, but just sort of all the time, right?
Yeah.
And second-guessing what I'm saying and being worried about what I'm saying. So I think when my chest one opened up, I definitely felt more space. And you're exactly right with the concave feeling to the, you know, chest out and feeling strong
expanded,
and not trying
yeah.
to hide everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my throat was, I just felt like I could talk without a problem.
Yeah. And it even changed the indigestion that you were feeling in that moment. It was opening up your stomach area as well, which is great.
Yeah.
Now, there was another block and a bit of a surprise that we're going to play here as we work through it all relating to womanhood. So I have our final clip for you. So we'll cue up clip 5, please. Being held back by others, where do you feel that in your body?
Like my groin.
Yes, and that was a very difficult life that involved
yeah.
a traumatic ending through rape.
It's like a chastity belt.
Okay.
Like it's like I'm just chained there.
Right, you're chained. Take a moment and connect to that feeling. What is the positive intention of having that there?
Again, protection.
Protection, yes. That was a very traumatic life where you had none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Protecting me from my womanhood is what I'm hearing. Which is...
Your womanhood was a problem in that past life, wasn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. If there was a way that you could change that object, its size, change it into something else, or just remove it completely.
I got its key.
You've got the key. Okay. It just gave you the key. How wonderful. It's ready to go. So just use your key and unlock it. And you can just let it drop.
Yeah, it literally looks like, now it's like just metal. It's burning away on the ground.
And so what will be different in your life based on that change?
There's no fear there.
What do you have instead of fear? What's there in its place?
Femininity.
Oh, so your femininity?
Yeah, being a woman. What's interesting is that I've been having a lot of physical problems with my hips.
Okay.
And that seems to go right in, that warmth, that comfort,
mm-hmm.
right where the pain is.
Is there anything else this young lady needs to close off this life before we allow her to move to the light and feel peace?
Is
something happening with your throat?
No, I'm trying to get the word.
Okay.
Accepting my body. Not to hate my body. To accept.
To not to hate your body.
Because I learned to hate it, because that's what they use.
Okay. And so this hating of the body. Where in your body, when you feel like you hate your body, how does that feel? And where do you feel it?
It's my boobs.
Okay. All right. So the breasts have it. That's right. And that was the trigger for her life changing into one of being used and murdered.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. So what is the color and the shape of that feeling that you feel in your breasts?
Black.
It's black?
It's solid.
Black and solid. Is there a shape with it?
It's almost like it's a black and solid bra, but not in a nice way. It actually
okay.
goes around me. Yeah, it's like a, yeah, it's kind of like a bra.
It's like a bra? And what's the sensation?
Tightness. Holding everything in and hiding it all.
What is that there for?
Telling me it's hiding my womanhood.
And so in hiding your womanhood, what is that doing for you?
Protecting me against men. Right. I can get rid of that with a pair of big scissors.
And so are you ready and just let that go?
Yeah. It just falls away.
And so not surprising, you had a couple of big blocks, one in the groin area, like a chastity belt that was providing protection and protecting your womanhood. And that was that feeling of being held back. And it's interesting, too, that through that entire past life, you had chains that were holding you back. This chastity belt was also holding you back from that life, from that past life. So the nice thing about working with you is that your unconscious mind is just one step ahead. You already had the key. And so it was easy to just open it up and let it fall away and just felt like it was very warm, like a nice warm bath. And in the place of the fear that it was creating and holding you back, you got to feel your femininity step in and be present. As well, it also helped with a hip problem that you've been having. It shifted with that and the block when the block released, and it felt like your hips were now supported. They were less constricted, and that support felt really warm and wonderful. And now the feeling was coming up, so where am I going? Because you've got this, you're no longer being pulled back, so now where am I going? So that also kind of relates to what's happening in your life right now, where am I going? But you're not being held back anymore. So we did bring the past life character forward to get some advice, and something she said we couldn't say on the radio, it had a little bit of an F word in there. But she did say, think before you speak, be wise to the situation before you speak your truth. Not everyone is ready to hear it. So be balanced. So with regards to the choices and the stresses in your life, she said, make better choices in relationships, which can always be a bit of a challenge to try to do. Be wise and not just allow things to happen to you, not just allow. So this is about boundaries too. So we did some work around allowing, the allowing of others to use you and in letting that pattern go. So we did some work on letting that go. We also let go of lack of choice around men, not just accepting what comes up. So lack of choice around men, relationships, and friendships even. And we brought in empowered choice, which you said felt really good. So we did forgiveness work with the whole group. You had such a physical reaction to this. We separated out the man who killed you, and the group of people who misused you came forward, the ones who gave you the message that your life had no value, and immediately you heard them say they were sorry without any prompting. Didn't have to say a word. They just immediately were sorry. They were just doing what they had to survive, and they didn't know better. And you forgave them all, and they were very emotional and crying at the forgiveness. So then we did some work with the killer, the murderer. And you did recognize him as your ex-partner. So the forgiveness work started, and he shrunk down where it was really easy for her to be able
to be able to speak, to be able to say what needed to be said. However, she didn't want to say anything. She just wanted to kick him. So that was kind of interesting. So brought him right down to a small size of a ball, and you just kicked him right out of the frame. Totally gone. So you knew his experience was just his experience, but it felt good to just kick him and have him go. So what did that feel like for you, Siobhan, to be able to just kick him right out of the frame and have him leave?
Very liberating.
I bet. I bet, yeah. So the fun thing was we weren't done there. We did a lot around the blocks and the forgiveness. And so back on the clip, we checked in to see if there was anything else that needed to happen that would allow this past life character to go into the light. And this was the surprise, because there was a need to work on accepting the body and not hating the body. There was a big block related to hating the body. In fact, you said you wanted a male body. That came up a couple of times in our session, and that it was felt in the breasts. It was a tight sensation, like a tight black bra. It was hiding your womanhood, which was protection against men. So we worked through that, and you changed that block into a beautiful rose quartz layer of light that you could help you feel taller. You could feel taller, more confident. You felt held to that center of your own empowered femininity. And so all of these blocks were related to safety and protection of your womanhood, especially the locations of them in the groin and the breasts. So, Siobhan, what do you think about the block that was hiding your womanhood, or the blocks that were hiding your womanhood, and how was this playing out in your life today? What did it feel like to remove it and feel that sense of power just rise back up again?
Well, it's interesting because I hadn't realized how unhappy with my body I really have been. So it gave me a realization of that. And moving forward, it just makes me feel like it's okay. Like I can show my, like, I don't mean I'm going to go out in low cut tops or anything, but I just feel like I can walk tall, you know, walk tall without hunching or covering it, like, making myself concave. That's the best word I can think of that you use. Concave is really good. I just felt taller, more confident. I'm not so afraid of being recognized for my femininity. Whereas before, I think I tried to hide it more.
Wanting that maleness to be there. So that was one short but very difficult lifetime that held big learning around femininity, womanhood, and worthiness, and all of it relating to personal safety and protection, with a lifetime where you had very little control and you were abused by so many. So you released four blocks, one on worthiness in the sternum, one in the throat around trusting your voice and holding fear there, and the remaining two blocks affecting your womanhood and making you hide from it. The last block, that surprise about hating your body, like you didn't even realize that you were having those feelings below the surface. And so being able to let go of those things and feeling your own empowerment and your feminine power and feel like you can handle anything now. And so it was interesting, too, to have that connection with the development of the womanly body. So it's very intricate and interconnected the way that past life has impacted this life, because your development in that you chose a body where your development would be so much later. You were 19, and so there would be some real reluctance to go there if you had to have a female body to work out that karma. You're going to pick one that's going to develop later when you have more skills and resources, right? So in letting go of the worthlessness and allowing yourself to care and speak up for yourself, you've created the ability to choose. And you could feel what it felt like to stand in your own power and use that power to make those empowered choices going forward. So, Siobhan, what was that experience like for you, and how has your life changed in the days that have followed? It hasn't been very long since we did this. And is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about the experience?
Well, first of all, I was trying to think of what it really did for me. And you know the song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar?
Yes, it's a great song.
The way I feel.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. There was a little bit of, like, understanding that my voice isn't always wanted, but it doesn't mean that it's never wanted. So I do feel more confident in speaking.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, no, it's made me feel a lot better. And, of course, my indigestion's gone.
Nice. How's your hip?
Well, my hips are good. Yeah, my hips are really good.
Yeah, good.
I don't feel that, like, I used to have so much sciatica, and now I don't feel it so much. And I got to say that, you know, these blocks are so easily removed with past life regression,
mm-hmm.
hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done it with others, and now doing it with myself, you know, Nikki, you did an amazing job. And
well, thank you.
I felt I really learned a lot. You know, and even when I do it myself, and then to do it with someone else, it was really great. So thank you so much, Nikki.
Good.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, and thank you, Siobhan, for going through the process, coming on the show and sharing your experience. It was quite the experience. I loved working with you and how open and ready for change you were. And I wish you much happiness, empowered choices, and self-love as you move ahead in this life. And so people might wonder, why would they want to work with me? Well, your sense of worthiness affects everything in your life, the choices you make, the partners you pick, the situations you allow yourself to be in, the level of confidence that you speak with in your own internal convictions about who you are. So you have to clear out the things that keep you from feeling that your own sense of worthiness, whether it's protection and safety, like it was with Siobhan, or traumas or limiting beliefs you've taken on from situations or messages from others. And when you can strip these fears and blocks away, you can get to the place of your own power, and that is living an empowered life. And I'm passionate about helping clients move through time to find and work with the traumas, the fears that are holding them back, and to find the keys to reconnect to their inner spark, their brilliance through understanding and the creation of these new resources. This is where the magic happens, and I am all about magic. I love magic. So if you want some magic to happen in your life and you're interested in winning a full past life regression session with me and coming on the show like Siobhan did today, send me an email to nikki@pastlifeexplorers.com, and you can find all of that information out on my News for the Soul profile. If you send me an email by the first of the month, you'll be considered for the next show, so you could be on the show in April. And for those of you who might want to have a deeper therapeutic one-on-one session, you can get a hold of me through my website, pastlifeexplorers.com. There's a contact box there, and you can book your own free discovery call with me. And if you want to try out past life work or energy balancing, you can go to my products page on pastlifeexplorers.com to purchase a recording for home use. There's 5 60-minute past life regressions, hypnosis recordings for energy balancing, and mindfulness meditations. And just for you guys, just for the listeners, you can use the code EXPLORERS and you will receive 20% off any of my products. So if you're interested in learning more about what I do, check out the show archives. I write a blog post on my website about each show as well that contains the links. So for more information, check out my profile on News for the Soul, the contact info, or go to pastlifeexplorers.com. Or send me an email at nikki@pastlifeexplorers.com. It's easy to get me. There's so many ways to get a hold of me, and I am always excited to chart new territory with you. So I really hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you again, Siobhan. And until next month, I hope you stay well and keep exploring.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.